1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks once again for your word and for the precision with which it deals with our lives. Give us hearts that are submitted to it, that as husbands and wives particularly, we would be quick to hear, thus saith the Lord, and be obedient to it. Help me to be understandable and most of all, close to the Word of God this afternoon, that the words that I speak, that the exposition of this text would be such that would greatly aid the marriages in our church. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Now you remember that when Peter was penning this epistle to the churches, it wasn't broken up in chapters and verses like we have it here. He wrote it as a flowing letter. So simply because we're starting in a new chapter doesn't discount the context in which this particular verse and set of verses is found. And so if you'll think back with me to the last couple of weeks of what we've been dealing with this consistent idea of the duty that all Christians have to be submitted to those that God put in authority over them. And so we said that all Christians, it is their duty to be submitted to every ordinance of man, to the civil authorities that God has put into place, that those who are acting in a just and a righteous manner are to be submitted to by believers. Likewise, those who you work for, masters with their servants. And I told you that isn't even dealing with here in Peter. He's not talking about slaves. He's talking about servants, people who are willfully and gainfully employed under a master, that they're to be submitted to those whom they have placed themselves under in the workforce. And in both of those examples, Peter was clear to point out that sometimes it's the people who aren't the easiest to submit to that we need to be submitted to. Sometimes those ordinances of men, sometimes those civil authorities are not living in such a way as we would wish for them to. The emperor that we're to be submitted to is unto supreme. The Roman emperors were not good, godly, friendly, kind people. And yet Peter said, even in that situation, as much as lies within you, as much as you can, you need to be submitted to them. To the servants, he said, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Those bosses who can sometimes be a jerk and seem to be looking to get on your nerves and looking for a way to needle you. As long as you're employed under them, you need to be submitted to them. And so he kind of carries that same theme over here into chapter 3, and he moves into the most personal, intimate relationship that Christians deal with on this earth, and that is the one of marriage. And so he says, likewise. Likewise. I've already talked to you as citizens under a government. I've already talked to you as employees under a master or servants under a master. Well, in that same vein, likewise, as we've been talking about, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now there's the foundation, there's the starting point, there's the premise that wives are to be in subjection to their own husbands. Now he moves into a what-if scenario. That if any obey not the word, what if I have a husband that's not a believer? He's not obeying the gospel. You might remember when we first started 1 Peter, before I even started going verse by verse, I did an overview of the book, and I said one of the points you need to be looking for in this book as a continuing theme is the point of obedience. That Christians are called to be obedient, and particularly to be obedient to the gospel. Peter uses this in two other places in the book, the idea of obedience to the word or obedience to the gospel. So what if I have a husband who hasn't obeyed the gospel call to repent and believe? Well, if any obey not the word, maybe, perhaps, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. And you remember that the biblical idea of conversation isn't as much an audible back and forth as it is a manner of life. That by your life, by your actions, they might be one without the word in this particular way. They'll be beholding your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So, premise is to all Christian wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Peter imagines there may be a little bit of a kickback to the Christian wives who don't have Christian husbands. What about us? It applies to you too. So, let's break this down. I want to break this down into 5 points this afternoon. The first point is that wives are biblically to be subject to their husband. I don't know if I can say it any closer to what the Bible says than that. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Okay, that's point number one. Let me just say it from the Bible here. Now, pay close attention to what was said and what was not said. Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. He did not say, wives, you are inferior to your husbands. You see, that's not in the text anywhere. Nowhere does he say that. He does not say, wives, you are of less worth to your God than your husbands, or less worth in the family or in society. It does not say, women, be in subjection to men. It says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So here's the foundation from the wife's point of view for a biblical, godly marriage. She is to be in subjection to her own husband. What other husbands think about what her husband says is irrelevant to her. What her girlfriends think about what her husband told her is irrelevant to her. Her concern is what has God said and what has my husband said. And so far, and this is one of the points we'll get into, so far as my husband does not command me to directly break the law of God, I am in subjection to him. Nobody else, but my immediate, direct head. Wives, if you have any associations, whether as employees or otherwise, with anything outside of the home, you must be ever careful that there is never a clash between someone else and your husband. If there is ever a clash between your employer and your husband wins out. If there is ever a clash between the president of the club that you're in and your husband wins out. If there's ever a clash between one of your friends and your husband, the scriptures give us here a very clear command. that wives are to be in subjection to their own husbands. Now, secondly, let me say this, and don't get too far ahead of me here, because I'm about to tell you what subjection and obedience does not mean, but let me first tell you what it means. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. What do we mean when we say subjection? Well, by the very definition of both the Greek word and the English word, the idea of subjection is clearly an undeniably that of obedience. Obedience. Verse 6 kind of clarifies this for us. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. But it wasn't an empty word to Sarah. She not only called him Lord, but she acted as if he was her Lord, her master, the one who had authority over her. It's not only Peter who tells us that this is the role. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34. tells us, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. Under obedience to who? To their own husbands. That if they have a question, the scriptures tell us they're to ask their husbands at home, but they're to keep their silence in the church. That's what the very next verse tells us. They're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. So who are they in obedience to? Their husbands. That's what verse 34 and 35 clearly say. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5 similarly, the aged women are to be teaching the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now the reason I harp on this just a little bit is because I was told one time, the Bible doesn't ever tell wives to obey their husbands, it only tells them to be submitted to their husbands. And that took me off guard. I'd never heard that before. I thought, is that true? And I started thinking, Ephesians chapter 5, yes, submit to your husbands. Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe that's true. Maybe the Bible never tells wives to obey their husbands. But just a quick word study will prove that premise false. So if anybody ever tells you that, if anyone ever says, the Bible doesn't ever tell women to obey wives to obey their husbands, it only says they have to be in some abstract way submitted that somehow excludes obedience, which I don't know how submission ever excludes obedience, but if that argument's ever presented to you, you can quickly shoot it down with 1 Peter chapter 3 and Titus chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When Peter says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, he is saying, wives, obey your husbands, your own husbands. That's the whole idea behind that word of subjection. Thirdly, what Peter tells us in this text is that obedience, or to use our English word in the text here, subjection, is not conditional on their husband's faith. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, if any husband is not obedient to the word of God, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. You know, the first thing that struck me about that verse is that Peter doesn't do any further explaining to the Christian wife with a Christian husband. It seems to me that Peter simply assumes that Christian women will understand that they're supposed to obey their Christian husbands. Peter just seems to take that at face value. The only explanation he gives is, what about when there's extenuating circumstances? What about when she's married to an unbeliever? But he never says, because Christian wives, when you have a Christian husband... Now, Paul does that in Ephesians chapter 5. He gives a more lengthy explanation of it. But Peter seems to just assume the Christian wife married to a Christian husband understands they're to be in subjection to their own husband. But let me speak for a moment to the woman who's married to the unbelieving husband. That's the first thing that struck me about that, is that the only explanation he goes into is those who might seem to have a legitimate extenuating circumstance. He seems to imagine that the only argument he would get would be from wives of disbelieving husbands. Now I will say, and for those of you who attended Thursday night Bible college, Bible teaching, we were going through the different roles in the family, and when it came to parenting, godly husbands and godly wives, I think in all three lectures we dealt with this particular possibility of one wife or one husband being a Christian and their spouse being an unbeliever. This is a difficult, tragic, troublesome, sad scenario. It's why the scriptures command believers not to become unequally yoked. If you're a believer here and you are single, I promise you, being single, not having a spouse, is better than being unequally yoked. Having an unbelieving spouse, they will multiply your trials and your hardship. However, what if someone's disobedient to that command and they marry an unbeliever? Or maybe they were both unbelievers and they got married and one spouse was converted and the other was not. The wife was converted and the husband was not. What of those wives? Peter says, you have a particular, special opportunity to be used as one of the means of grace, perhaps, for your husband's conversion. The scriptures tell us that corporal punishment from parents toward children is one of the means that God often uses to save children's souls. Beat him with the rod and save his soul from hell. Likewise, the scriptures tell us here that the unbelieving husband, the husband who's not obedient to the word, one of the means that God uses is not your constant preaching to him, but your consistent subjection to him so far as it doesn't fly in the face of the commands of God. That your quiet obedience, your chaste, holy lifestyle, coupled with your fear of God and therefore subservient to that, your fear of Him in a reverential, loving way, they might be won by your conversation, by your lifestyle, by your obedience. You can latch on to this as a hopeful promise from God. Not a promise that he'll be saved, but a promise that often God uses this as a means of his conversion. There are all kinds of anecdotes and stories of this very thing happening, of chaste, quiet, obedient, godly wives being the means that God used to the conversion of their brutish, ungodly husbands. But I don't need anecdotes to prove to you that what the Bible says is true. The Bible says this may happen. Now let me tell you what biblical obedience is not. Okay, lest you hear me wrong here, because I'm speaking pretty strongly about this idea, because Peter seems to speak pretty strongly about the duty of wives, even to unbelieving husbands, to be subject unto them. Let me hopefully clarify what biblical obedience is not, and then we'll discuss a little further what biblical obedience is. Biblical obedience is not obeying your husband rather than God. That's not biblical obedience. Turn over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. The high priest called the disciples in. They say, didn't we strictly command you not to teach in the name of Jesus? But you still do. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, didn't we just read that we're to be submitted to every ordinance of man? And didn't Peter just say, likewise, ye wives, be subject unto your own husbands? Yes, but what does our subjection to every ordinance of man and our submission to our masters and the wife's subjection to her husband all have in common? Our first responsibility is obedience to God. We obey the civil authority, we obey our masters, we obey our husbands because we want to be obedient to God. Therefore, when the two come into conflict, we must discern the same thing that Peter discerned and all the other apostles, that we ought to obey God rather than man. Therefore, when your husband asks you strictly to do something that is contrary to the word of God, I'm not talking about some wishy-washy area. I just feel like God doesn't want me to do this. Now, I'm talking about the Word of God has said, thou shalt not. And your husband says, thou shalt. And you say to him, honey, I love you. And I'm going to do everything I can to be submitted to you and to obey you. But there's one person in the universe that I love more than you. And that's God. And I can't do what you've asked me to do because he's commanded me not to. Please don't make me go against that conviction, because I won't. That's the submitted, holy, chaste conversation that wives are to have to their husbands who are acting in disobedience to the word. To the word of God. So biblical obedience is not your husband says, I want you to go prostitute yourself, and you say, okay, well, the Bible says I have to be in subjection to my own husband. No, God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. So I can't do that, honey. Sorry. That won't happen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, just to back this up with a particular reference to husbands and wives. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto